Good morning. Thank you all for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's results for the first half of 2015. Today, I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitris Lois, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imellos. Following the presentation by Dimitris and Michalis, we will open the floor to questions. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements on the screen. This information can also be viewed in our press release issued today. Now, let me turn the call over to Dimitris.
Thank you, Basak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. I will start by giving an overview of the first half of 2015 before Michalis takes you through our financial performance. I will then discuss our operational performance and the outlook for the remainder of the year. We are pleased to see that our strategic initiatives are delivering top-line growth while significantly improving profitability. Starting with the top line, we achieved 3.8% volume growth in the first half. The underlying growth, excluding the effect of the four additional selling days, was 1.3%. Our pricing actions in the markets most affected by currency headwinds, balanced with deflationary pressures and the affordability measures we took in several of our markets, led to stable currency-neutral net sales revenue per case. Favorable input cost environment, volume leverage, as well as our revenue growth and cost management initiatives, helped us significantly improve our operational profitability, leading to 170 basis points expansion of EBIT margin. Furthermore, our consistent focus on disciplined working capital management led to further improvements in working capital balance sheet position and days. These improvements, coupled with operating profit growth, allowed us to more than double our free cash flow compared to the prior year period. Comparable earnings per share was around 0.39, a 44% increase on the prior year period. Looking at our overall performance in the face of challenging macroeconomic and trading condition in many of our markets, we are pleased to see the results of our actions to return our business to growth. With that, I will turn the call over to Michalis.
Thank you, Dimitris, and hello, everyone. In line with our practice, as I take you through our financial results for the first half, I will refer to comparable figures which exclude the impact of restructuring costs, the mark-to-market valuation impact of commodity hedges, and specific non-recurring items. As Dimitris mentioned, our volume increased by 3.8% on a reported basis, partly supported by the four extra selling days in quarter one, which account for 2.5 percentage points of growth. We have seen an acceleration in the volume growth rate in the second quarter on an underlying basis. That is, after accounting for the extra selling days and the phasing of Easter, which benefited quarter one and had a negative impact in quarter two. Net sales revenue declined by 1% in the first half, negatively affected by the significant currency headwinds, particularly in our emerging market segment. Currency-neutral net sales revenue per unit case was stable in the first half, as our pricing actions in markets facing currency headwinds were offset by affordability measures and deflationary pressures in a number of our markets. Favorable input cost environment and volume leverage more than offset the significant negative foreign currency impact, leading to a 60 basis points expansion in the gross profit margin. Our optimization initiatives, supported by restructuring, are reflected in the significant improvement of our operating expenses as a percentage of net sales revenue. More specifically, in the first half, our cost management actions led to a 110 basis points decrease of operating expenses as a percentage of revenue, further supporting the EBIT margin expansion. Comparable operating profit increased in the first half by 31% versus the prior year period, while comparable operating profit margin expanded by 170 basis points. favorable input costs, operating leverage, and our cost management actions more than offset the adverse currency impact. Comparable EPS reached 39 euro cents, 44% higher than prior year, driven by the expansion of our operational profitability. Our consistent actions to optimize working capital continue to drive improvements in both the working capital balance and the working capital days compared to the prior year period. We generated strong free cash flow of 219 million euros in the first half, up 124 million compared to the prior year period. I will cover this in more detail later in my presentation. Diving a bit deeper into our top-line performance during the first half, FX-neutral net sales revenue per case was stable in comparison to the same period in the prior year. Key driver of the performance was the positive pricing impact to mitigate adverse foreign currency movements in markets impacted by currency depreciation. However, this good performance was offset by limited opportunity to take pricing in certain deflationary economies and markets where there are affordability concerns. In our established markets, FX-neutral net sales revenue per case declined by 2.4%. This decline was driven by a deterioration in price mix amidst deflationary pressures, as well as negative category mix, partially offset by favorable package mix. In developing markets, improved category mix was not enough to offset unfavorable price and channel mix, leading to a 2% decline in FX-neutral net sales revenue per case. The emerging market segments, 4.3% improvement in FX-neutral net sales revenue per case, was mainly the result of our pricing actions put in place to mitigate the FX headwinds in countries facing currency depreciation and the associated inflation. Category mix was also positive, partially offset by negative channel mix. Turning to input cost, FX neutral input cost per case declined by 7.2% in the first half, in line with our expectations. The key drivers for the decline were lower EU and world sugar costs, in line with expectations, as well as improved PET resin prices, which followed the sharp decline in oil prices as the year progressed. Our consistent focus on optimizing our operating cost base achieved good results in the first half, leading to a 4% reduction in comparable operating expenses. Comparable operating expenses as a percentage of net sales revenue improved in the first half, decreasing by 110 basis points to 29.5%. On a segmental basis, the improvement was driven by the emerging segment, which decreased by 260 basis points, as well as the developing, which decreased by 30 basis points. In our established markets, comparable operating expenses as percentage of net sales revenue increased by 20 basis points. The main driver for the deterioration in established markets was certain one-off items and, to a lesser extent, operational deleverage. On the other hand, operational leverage, coupled with our optimization initiatives, mostly benefited emerging markets and, to a lesser extent, developing. Cost efficiency remains a key priority across our business, and we are confident that we can achieve improvements in operating expenses as percentage of net sales revenue this year. Turning to operating performance, we recorded comparable operating profit of 219 million euros in the first half, 52 million higher than the prior year. Overall, volume leverage, lower input costs, and cost control more than offset the impact of unfavorable foreign exchange movements. First half profitability was partly supported by the four additional selling days in quarter one. We will discuss the phasing impact of the additional days in more detail in the full year outlook section. All three reporting segments posted strong comparable EBIT improvement in the first half. Most particularly, established markets improved by 20 million euros compared to the same period last year. Price mix decline was more than offset by lower input costs and FX benefits, mainly from the year-on-year strengthening of the Swiss franc. Our developing markets improved by €22 million compared to the prior year. Volume leverage and lower input costs were the key factors offsetting increased marketing investment and deterioration in price mix. The emerging market segment grew by €11 million year-on-year. Benefits from our revenue growth initiatives, volume leverage and lower input costs more than offset the significant impact from negative currency movements. We incurred restructuring charges of €22 million in the first half, mostly focused in established and emerging markets, and to a lesser extent in developing. We maintain our guidance of annual restructuring costs of approximately €45 million, with estimated annualized benefits from 2015 initiatives to reach €30 million from 2016 onwards. The savings in 2015 from initiatives taken in 2014 and those that will be taken this year are still expected to reach €44 million. Turning now to free cash flow, in the first half we generated €219 million, €124 million higher than the prior year period. The free cash flow increase was mainly driven by working capital improvements and, to a lesser extent, operating profitability growth. We remain disciplined in our working capital management approach, as evident in the working capital amounts and days, which continue to improve on a year-on-year basis. CapEx spend was lower than the prior year, mainly as a result of phasing in our spending. We reiterate our annual CapEx guidance range at 5.5% to 6.5% of net sales revenue. We also still expect free cash flow generation for the 2013-2015 period in the range of €1.1 to €1.2 billion. We remain confident in our proven ability to generate solid free cash flow in the short to medium term, despite the macroeconomic and currency headwinds. Let me now touch upon the financing of our business. Total first half net financing costs amounted to €37 million, decreasing by €2 million compared to the prior year period. This improvement was mainly driven by the cessation of the hyperinflation accounting in Belarus and lower foreign exchange remeasurement losses from the Ukrainian hryvnia and the Nigerian naira. As already communicated, our $400 million bond maturing next month will be repaid from our own funds. We remain committed to maintaining a conservative and diversified financial profile, translating to net debt to comparable EBITDA ratio in the range of 1.5 to 2 times. Before I conclude, let me touch upon certain EBIT phasing considerations that are relevant for your modeling. This year, we expect a positive EBIT contribution from operational leverage. We are very pleased to see this materialize in our first half performance. This contribution, however, has been exaggerated in the first half by the phasing impact of the 4 additional selling days in the first quarter. We expect this to reverse in the fourth quarter, when we will have 4 fewer selling days. We estimate this phasing impact to be approximately €25 million in EBIT. At the same time, FX remains a significant headwind this year and still volatile. We estimate that at current spot rates and taking into account our hedging positions, the full year P&L impact of foreign currency translation and transaction will be €155 million. The corresponding first half FX impact on EBIT amounted to €66 million. With that, let me now pass the floor to Dimitris, who will provide some more color on our operational performance in the first half.
Thank you, Michali. I will now turn to the operational highlights for the period. Overall, volume increased by 3.8% in the first half, cycling a 3.4% decline in the same period last year. Emerging and developing markets were the main growth drivers, while decline in the established markets decelerated. The year-on-year improvement in the first half was predominantly driven by Nigeria, Romania, Poland, Ukraine, and Hungary. In the established markets, volume was broadly stable, following a 4.2% decline in the prior year period. Volume growth in Ireland and Greece supported good overall performance in water, was outweighed by declines in Switzerland and Austria. Developing market trends remained positive, continuing the turnaround. We achieved 6.2% growth in the first half, cycling a 6.6% decline in the prior year period. Good performance across the segment, mainly driven by good sparkling growth, supported by water performance in Poland and Hungary. In the emerging markets, volume grew by 5.4%, cycling and 1.7% decline in the same period last year. Volume performance in the first half was driven by continued growth momentum in Nigeria, strong performances in Romania and Ukraine, as well as exceptional performance in juice, partly supported by the addition of Moya Semia, which we added to our portfolio in Russia. Looking at our performance by category, sparkling beverages volume increased by 3% in the first half. This performance was driven by a number of elements. Firstly, execution of initiatives at the point of sale. A good example is our ongoing work to develop occasions such as meal and coke across our territories. Also, our focus on more and better marketing, such as Share a Coke in Nigeria. Finally, the development segment, our performance in the organized trade. Within the category, trademark Coca-Cola increased by 4% and Coke Zero by 16%. Juice continued its positive momentum, delivering growth of 18%. Russia was the main contributor to this growth as a result of the drive behind our recently broadened juice portfolio in the country with Moya Semia. We also delivered good growth in juices in Nigeria, Greece, and Ukraine. It is worth noting that even excluding Moya Semia, growth in the juice category overall for the group was 10%. Water grew by 4% in the period, demonstrating good performance in most of our countries, particularly Nigeria, Romania, and Ukraine. Additional investment behind our brands and promo intensity in markets with affordability concerns were key drivers. Energy maintained its growth with volumes up 9%, driven by Ireland, Hungary, and Poland. Ready-to-drink tea performance remained weak, except in certain pockets such as Romania and Ukraine. Turning now to the reporting segments and some of our bigger countries in each segment. Stable volume in our established market segment was an encouraging result. Without the four extra selling days, volume would have been down by about 2.5%, following a 4% decline in the prior year period. In Italy, the underlying microeconomic and trading environment remains challenging. Against this background, our focus on our OBPPC strategy led to a broadly stable performance in sparkling, with Coke Zero, Sprite, and Energy registering positive performances. OBPPC action, specifically our single-serve focus in sparkling in the immediate consumption channel, have also driven single-serve mix improvements in the period. Greece, which returned to growth in 2014 after 4 years of decline, grew marginally in the first half. We believe this is a pleasing performance amid challenging trading conditions. Looking ahead, we remain cautious as the microeconomic environment is uncertain. In Switzerland, volume declined by low single digit in the first half, cycling a similar rate of decline in the prior year period. Water grew by mid-single digits in the period, helped by increased distribution, although this was not enough to offset the sparkling volume decline. While deflationary pressures limited the opportunities of price increase in established markets, package mix was favorable owing to our focus on OBPPC initiatives. In our developing markets, we are seeing evidence of a turnaround in volumes, having pursued a strategy of rationalizing unprofitable volumes in the organized trade throughout 2014. The segment achieved a 6% volume growth in the period with contribution from all of the countries. The growth rate was amplified by our 4 extra selling days. The sparkling beverage category was the main growth driver in the segment, supported by water in Poland and Hungary. In Poland, volume increased by high single digits in the period. We saw good performance across most categories, with sparkling beverages growing by high single digits, driven by good results in the organized trade. Still beverages posted a low single-digit increase, driven by water performance. The developments in the Czech Republic are similar to those in Poland, with high single-digit volume growth driven by good performance across most key categories. In Hungary, high single-digit volume growth was driven by sparkling beverages, which increased by low teens. Our focus on increasing single-serve contribution also delivered results, with package mix improving by 190 basis points in the first half. Deflationary pressures in the second, combined with a less favorable channel mix, resulted in a 2% reduction in FX-neutral net sales revenue per case. Volume in our emerging market segment grew by 5% in the first half of the year, demonstrating resilience in markets, some of which are facing strong headwinds. Volumes in Russia declined by low single digits. We continue to expect high single-digit decline in the Russian non-alcoholic ready-to-drink market. Therefore, we are pleased that the performance we have seen in our business so far in the year is better than the market and in line with our expectations. This performance is largely driven by the juice category as we increase the distribution of the new Moya Semilla brand, but this should not detract from the fact that trademark Coca-Cola also held up well. Looking ahead, we reiterate our expectation for a mid-single-digit decline in our volumes in Russia this year. Volume in Nigeria continues to demonstrate robust growth momentum, delivering mid-teens volume growth. With a successful Share a Coke campaign, additional PET bottle production capacity, and improved product availability, the business delivered a very good performance across all categories. Nigeria remains a key growth driver for the group. Volume in Romania increased by high single digit in the half year, with good performances across our portfolio, partly supported by the VAT reduction in June. Packaged meats continue to improve, driven by good growth in sparkling single-serve packages. FX neutral revenue per case grew by 4.3% in the period, in line with our strategy to implement pricing initiatives in territories facing currency headwinds. In closing, we have become more optimistic as the year has progressed and remain confident that 2015 will be a year of volume growth and expansion in margins. In order to achieve these goals, we will be working to deliver volume growth in all 3 segments. We reiterate our expectation for an improvement in FX neutral net sales revenue per case in the full year, while recognizing that the increase may be modest. We continue to expect a high single-digit percentage decrease in full-year currency neutral input cost per case year on year. Our actions in operating expense management are expected to result in a reduction in operating expenses as percent of net sales revenue, supporting EBIT margin growth. Taking into account our hedge positions and current spot rates, we expect an adverse impact on EBIT from foreign currency to amount to €155 million for the full year. And with that, I will now hand over to the operator, and Michalis and I will take your questions. Operator.
Our first question comes from the line of Sanjeet of Credit Suisse London. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dimitris Mihalos. I just wondered if you could just comment on trading you've seen in July, particularly on the back of what was a bad weather period for you last year. And then also looking into the second half of the year, given all of the moving parts you've laid out, should we anticipate any margin expansion in the second half of the year? Thanks.
Hi, Sanjeet. Regarding the second half and the impact of the phasing, let me just say that, first of all, on an underlying basis, in other words, excluding the phasing impact of the four selling days, we expect to see in the second half an acceleration in the volume growth. Of course, when you factor back the selling days, the four extra selling days, on a reported basis, in other words, the performance that we will see in the second half, the growth will appear to be decelerating. But the underlying growth and the acceleration of the growth is there. When it comes to the effect, the foreign exchange, in the second half, because the second half is a bigger part of the year than the first half, we expect that the negative impact of the effects will accelerate, and it will overtake the benefits from the input costs. So overall, looking at all these factors and how they will play into the second half to the EBIT margin, we expect that there will be volume growth in the second half and therefore volume leverage. Input costs will be a benefit, but they will be outpaced by the negative effects hit. And therefore, taking into account also the impact of the four extra selling days, which, as I said, is boosting the half one performance by €25 million, and therefore it will negatively impact the second half by the same amount. Overall, we don't expect that there will be a material change in the second half EBIT margin versus prior year.
Very helpful. And then just on the July trading, if you could just give us a couple of comments on any particular trends.
Yes, as you said, last year Q3, the weather was unfavorable, especially in the established. So what we have seen this year, July performance was good.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Tristan from Deutsche Bank London. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, gentlemen and lady. Well done. Just a few questions. Can you give a little bit of color on your operational expenses and where the savings came from? Did it come from just cleaning up your footprint a bit, or was it cross-border synergies? And the same thing on your working capital. What drove that improvement? And then lastly, obviously Nigeria is off a low comp. It looks like the underlying is growing as well, quite solidly. How do you see the consumer environment right now in Nigeria? Just some qualitative comments on that, please.
Morning, Tristan. I'll start with Nigeria, and then Michalis will cover your OPEX and working capital. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Even if you exclude the four extra selling days, Nigeria performance has been strong. And I'm saying that taking into consideration also the fact that we are cycling relatively easy comps for the first half of last year. Now, we do see strong performance for the second half also, recognizing the fact that we are cycling high single digits of growth last year. And that is basically driven from the focus on all of our strategic initiatives. Mm. I will briefly refer to better and more marketing. Share a Coke is an excellent example. The additional capacity, both in PET and in water. So those are the key elements, along with innovative products and packages that we will be introducing in Q3 in juice. The last part refers to the consumer sentiment. The consumer sentiment is still a bit subdued. We have seen, I would say, a smooth elections and after elections process, but still with the oil prices at 50, we see a pretty subdued consumer confidence. So all in all, strong growth in Nigeria will continue for the second half of the year. And now let me pass to Michali for the OPEX and the working capital.
Hi, Tristan. On the OPEX, we have good performance both in established and developing markets, but primarily the improvement in the first half is coming from emerging. Mm-hmm. Now, in emerging, if I was to focus in emerging because that's where the bulk of the improvement is coming from, I would say that there are three major drivers. One is clearly the volume leverage, because emerging markets still has quite a bit of fixed element in the OPEX, so that helps as volume is growing. Secondly, there is clearly a good development in the revenue per case, underlined on a currency neutral basis, so that is helping also the OPEX as percent of revenue. Thirdly, we have recently started to work also on certain emerging markets with some restructuring initiatives. So this is production infrastructure optimization and also continuing to rationalize our logistics operations. Of course, you know that we continue on also the back office shared services program also in these markets and with process efficiency improvements. So all this is also contributing. And finally, a smaller point, I would say that in emerging markets, you also have cycling of the Sochi Olympic spend, but that in the emerging markets is around 50 bips. It's not really the majority of the improvement. When it comes to working capital, the improvement is coming across the board from receivables, inventories, and payables, but it is primarily focused on receivables. We are working very hard to manage receivables across our footprint, and particularly in countries that are more challenged right now by the crisis. And I would say also not only from those three elements of the working capital, but established and emerging segments are also improving, and in developing markets we are more or less flattish.
Thanks, Michael. Just on Nigeria, I mean, you talked in Q3 new packages, and the last time you spoke about the potential of Monster in that market. Do you still see that coming up?
Yes, right now we are in discussions with Monster. Nigeria is one of the markets, so this is definitely on our agenda.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Tristan.
Our next question comes from the line of Stan from Eurobank Equities, Athens. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi there. Stan Draziotis here from Eurobank Equities. Thank you very much for taking my questions. One question would be, you mentioned that you intend to continue taking pricing actions in markets impacted by currency depreciation. Does this mean that you might take further pricing in Russia after the one you had taken earlier this year, if the ruble depreciates further in the second half, please? Second question would be, on the raw material environment? I mean, I understand it's probably too early to provide guidance for next year, but could you give us, you know, some rough indication as to what you anticipate in terms of input costs? And third question would be with regard to free cash flow. I can see you have left your guidance unchanged versus the Q1 trading update, despite the robust first half. Does this have to do mainly with the capex phasing that you mentioned, or is there anything that has to do with working capital dynamics or some other element of operating cash flow in the second half? Thank you.
Let me take your first question with regards to revenue per case FX neutral on the emerging. Yes, we reiterate our statement that we are planning to continue considering price increases in all of the markets that have been affected by currency headwinds. You refer specifically to Russia. Russia is a possibility, and you are absolutely right. This would be contingent to how the ruble will develop from now on till year end. And now let me pass to Michalis to cover your other two points.
Hi, Stan. On the input costs, as you said, it is a bit early. We are at the point now where we are building our plans for 2016. Nevertheless, we have some early indications. When it comes to EU sugar, we have covered already 70% of our needs, more or less at the prices that we experienced in 2015. And the remaining 30% is currently being negotiated. There we might have, for that 30%, some upward pressure as the price is going up. On world sugar, we are 100% hedged in terms of Russia and around 50-60% in terms of Nigeria. So we have some good visibility there. And in terms of aluminium, we are about two-thirds hedged for 2016. So putting all this together and considering that 2015 has probably been the lowest point in terms of input cost pricing, we should expect to see some small increase in the input cost per case on a currency neutral basis. But we'll come back in February with some more specific guidance in that respect. When it comes to free cash flow, really the performance of the first half, we have to always take into account that there is an extra 25 million euros coming from the extra selling days, which is not going to be there in the second half. So overall, the results so far fit very well within the guidance we've given on the 1.1 to 1.2 billion euro.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Edward Mundy of Nomura, London. Go ahead, please.
Morning, everyone. Three questions, please. The first is on working capital. Do you expect the same level of uplift in the second half? The second is just following on from the last question around, you know, pricing and also input costs. You know, over the last 12 to 18 months, you know, Coke has moved much more from a volume to a value basis. And Hellenic historically has done a very good job on this. And, you know, after a year of boosting affordability, you know, to get the volumes up, given the input cost benefits, you know, as you start to cycle those benefits, do you expect the shape of your top line into 2016 to start to move towards a value over volume? And then the third question is really around the announcement last week around the formation of Coca-Cola European Partners. Are you able to expand at all on whether there was an opportunity for you to participate in this deal and as to why you didn't?
Okay, let me start from the revenue per case. As you have seen during this year, there are a couple of dynamics and I'll focus on the established and developing. Mainly, we have seen strong deflationary environments, and on top of that, the affordability element that we have been working. So this is the predominant driver for what we have seen so far in both established and developing. And we don't expect materially different trends in those two segments for the second half of the year. Now, for the emerging, we have been staying the course with taking price increases, especially in all the markets that have been affected by currency wind. For next year, Ed, it's a bit early, but I think it makes a lot of sense to see the revenue next year overall growing at a faster pace than the volume. Going to the second question, which was on the consolidation. The transaction here was focused on consolidating the Spanish, the German operations with CCE. In that regard, there was no real role to play for CCH, and we were not involved at all with this process. Let me turn to Michalis now for your next question.
Hi, Ed. If you look at the working capital balance per se, we reiterate our target to come to three-digit negative working capital balance by the end of this year. In terms of the contribution of working capital into the free cash flow, one has to see how working capital is changing versus the beginning of the year and compare it to the corresponding change in the prior year. And there the dynamic becomes a bit more complex. But in summary, we don't expect that the strong contribution of working capital in the free cash flow in the first half will be equally strong on a full year basis. Although right. The original target of getting to three-digit negative working capital balance still holds.
Great, thank you. And just a follow-up, I mean, Ukraine, you grew mid-teens in the first half. I was wondering whether you could provide a little bit more color. I mean, I know it's an easy comp, but a bit more color on what happened in Ukraine.
Yes, Ed. First of all, the growth comes from all categories. Sparkling was very strong, juice very strong, and also water has been performing extremely well. Here, what we see is the strategic priorities and decisions we have taken a few years back in a very difficult environment, which means that the route to market, the focus at the point of execution is delivering great results, and we are expanding dramatically also our market share overall in all segments. We expect that the underlying trends will more or less continue for the second half of the year also.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Holland of SG London. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Just a clarification, if I may, on Michaelis' comments on the second half margin. Were you saying that you don't expect any change versus last year's H2, or were you suggesting that the margin could actually be down in the second half?
Well, I'm expecting that it will be broadly in line with last year's second half.
Okay. Fine, thank you. And just on marketing spend, is there any sort of phasing of marketing spend that we should be aware of by any of the regions through the year?
Andrew, what we have seen is expanding our marketing spend in both established and developing. As we heard from Michalis, in emerging, we had the Sochi last year. So that's why emerging is down. And these trends will continue in established and developing for the second half of the year. So overall, we are investing more in marketing initiatives, both for the first and we will for the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you. And just, I know you don't really like splitting them out, but can you give an idea of what your pricing was in percentage terms in Russia in the first half?
High single digits.
High single digits. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Charles Pick of Numis London. Go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I had three questions, please. Can you clarify, please, what the underlying sales decline was, allowing for those extra four selling days? Secondly, on the affordability measures in certain countries, can you elaborate a little on what those measures involved and which particular countries were affected? And thirdly, when it comes to the FX debit indicated of €155 million for the full year, is it possible to indicate how that splits between the translational and transactional and what you've assumed for Russia? And also, sort of quasi-linked to that, I think you indicated the FX debit was €66 million in the first half and seemed to imply that was more than covered by lower input costs. Is that correct? And can you quantify, please, what those lower input costs were worth in the first half?
In your first question, you referred to underlying sales decline. You are referring to established markets.
No, I was thinking of the group overall.
But the group overall grew, did not decline, not underline.
Not volume.
You're talking about volume. Sorry, apologies. Are you talking about volume?
I was talking about sales, sorry. Sales in the first half for the group overall were down 1%. And I was wondering what the underlying decline was, allowing for the extra four selling days coming out.
So you're talking about revenue. On a reported basis, we were 1% down. On an underlying basis, that translates to about 3.3% down.
3.3%, yeah.
Okay, now moving to your second question with regards to affordability, this is in combination with the markets that have been deflationary, which is most of the markets in established and in developing. A very good example is Poland. We have seen around 3% deflationary environment in the beginning of the year, moderating to around 2%. So in this market, we have taken focused actions behind promo intensity in specific packages, and that was mostly towards organized trade. Another example was Greece, where also we have been focusing on the promo intensity. Here we have been also working on single-serve multi-packs. So those are two good examples of affordability in combination with the deflationary environment. Now let me turn to Michalis for your third question.
Okay, so the full year Forex impact of 155 million is based on the current spot rates for any positions that are not hedged in the remaining of the year. So the assumption there is with ruble to the euro at around 70 rubles to the euro for the year to go, and that's an average throughout the remainder of the year on our unhedged positions. And the split of transactional and translational for this 155 is approximately 85% of this is transactional and only 15% being translation. It is also interesting to note that 90% of this 155 million is coming from Russia. Now, your second question on the €66 million Forex hit in the first half, yes, that more or less covered, was offset by the input cost benefit in the first half. When it comes to the full year, this 155 million negative Forex hit will outpace the benefits from input cost. And I would say that there will be a difference of about 15 to 20%.
Okay, thank you very much. Very helpful.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for joining today's conference.
I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitate a good discussion around our half-year results. Let me leave you with the following thoughts. We have a clear strategy and we have started seeing evidence of delivery. We are confident that this proven strategy, combined with our leading market positions and broad geographic exposure, position us well in the medium to long term. Thank you, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.